sitting down with Michelle Hennings, Executive Director of the Washington Association of Wheat Growers. Michelle, thanks as always for taking the time to chat with us. Boy, it's been a busy couple of weeks for you and for the wheat community as a whole, making trips to Olympia and back to D.C.
Yes, it is. We've been doing a lot of our advocacy days in the last couple of weeks, and our first trip was to Olympia. Today is the cutoff for any bills to get out of the committee. So we were looking at bills that were harmful to farmers, also those that were positive, and we had over 50 meetings over there. We also were able to visit with the governor. One of the things that we were really talking about is ag viability. USDA came out with that Washington State ag ranks 50th in the U.S. in farm take-home income as a negative $259 million. That makes a big statement to legislators when that comes out. And so we did some price comparison with analysis versus our price versus our input costs. As you know, it's said that we're losing about 2 farms a day in Washington State. And we went into offices saying something needs to be done. And so I will talk about a couple bills that we're watching over in Olympia right now. We're really watching the labor unionization bills. We have a federal exemption for a reason. We cannot have farm workers strike during harvest. Otherwise, our farmers, that would be detrimental to them, especially, you know, during harvest if they lose the crop. So we were, you know, advocating on that behalf, you know, explaining, you know, we have a federal exemption. We don't want to see this go through. It's already gone through the labor committee, but we're working diligently to try to get support against these bills. A couple bills we've been watching has been on pesticides. There was one out for a paraquat ban and then the PFAS and ag inputs. But right now it doesn't look like those are moving too quickly or they are going to move. So that would be a positive. We did have a bill that we do support, which is a positive, is farm machinery sales tax exemption. Any equipment costing $10,000 or more for farmers with a gross income under $2 million would be, they would have a sales tax exemption for their equipment. This definitely would help farmers when they're purchasing or if they have to purchase equipment. There's also a protecting ag bill. That's a good one because it requires state agencies to conduct a formal ag economic assessment before passing rules that increase costs for farmers. So most of the time we feel that some of the legislation comes down on farmers. They don't understand how it affects us. And it's like a trickle effect. You know, they have these big ideas, they want to put these bills in place, but they don't do the research to see how it actually affects us. And so we feel that that's a very positive one for us. So we've just really been pushing ag viability and what's happening in Washington State. It's happening all over the U.S. I know you've heard that. Lubricants in the CCA, we would like to see that exempt. And we were in the governor's office 2 weeks ago and had a conversation with him. He was very positive about it. So we do have some solutions or some things that can help us, but we have to get our inputs down. Our price versus our inputs are in a terrible place.
Michelle, in your assessment, whether it's Governor Ferguson or others in Olympia, do you think they understand and appreciate the struggles that the ag community is facing? Do they generally want to do anything to improve the overall environment for the ag economy?
I think for the labor part of it, the committee is difficult for us. That's probably our most difficult committee. If we're looking at the whole, you know, the meetings that we did have, I feel that there were a lot that were receptive to what's happening. I think when we put the statistics out in front of them, they know that there's a problem. Our state's also in a deficit, so they're trying to juggle that as well. So it's just the fact of getting over there and educating. I felt that people were receptive over it. I felt that the meeting with the governor was very positive as well. He's reached out to Egg before, And so we haven't been in the governor's office for years. They didn't really want to meet with us. And so when he, you know, allowed us to come into his office, have that conversation on what's happening with wheat in the state, that's a step forward, right? We can have those conversations, those difficult conversations, and that's what we need to be doing. So I felt there was some reception, but there are some challenges too. And I would say our top challenge is the Labor Committee.
Michelle, talk to us about your trip back to D.C. and your efforts to help the farming community, whether that's promotion of the Farm Bill or anything else back east.
Well, National was really good. We got into a lot of great meetings. Once again, we got into offices. We even got into the administration, and we had a conversation on what's happening on the West Coast. You know, a lot of talks happening about the Midwest. And when we come in and say we're 50th in the U.S. for farm profit, you know, and say why, because some of it has to do with our state, too. It was a really good conversation. But we're sitting here with a price at probably, $5.30, and our break is even $7. We've been assessing, what is that? So we had a lot of conversation over in D.C. about our fertilizer prices. Our fertilizer is one of our top inputs. You know, that across farm country, producers are facing a persistent cost squeeze. Fertilizer prices have risen far faster than their underlying input costs, and some of it has to do with consolidation. So we were able to have really good conversations over there. We were able to get into the administration and listen to Deputy Secretary Vaden. And he was talking that this is recognized and they're working to try to find solutions. And so also with Congress, it's receptive. They know they're just trying to find solutions right now because we're just at a breaking point. And I wish I had better news, but it's been, you know, years we've gone through this and equity is starting to run out on the farms. And so you're seeing farms default and, you know, they're not able to get their loans or, you know, pay their bills. And so you have bridge payments that are happening at the national level. But for example, the bridge payment that's coming out at the end of February is $39.50 per acre for farmers. Well, when we look at USDA numbers, operating break even is $160. And then if you add overhead, we're at $400 an acre. So it is a Band-Aid. I know they're trying to do what they can, but we need to find a solution to this. And I know they're trying to keep farmers farming, but we're going to have to find a solution to our inputs because our inputs just have not come down. They peaked at COVID, you know, and then we had the Ukraine war. And once that peaked, like our price dropped, but our inputs haven't that much. So it's something we're really putting together a lot of information on and getting in front of Congress and the state legislature on, you know, what's happening out there and how can we find solutions to bring down our costs.
Michelle, I know I sound a bit like a broken record, but do you think whether it's lawmakers in D.C., lawmakers in Olympia, or just John Q. Public on the street, do they understand the challenges before growers out there about low commodity prices, high input costs, and how growers can't just charge more for their product to try to make their budget balance?
I think some understand, some don't. You know, when you get over there, you have the ones that represent egg, their egg districts, but then you also have the ones that feel that, well, we've given farmers too much already. We don't need to give them any more assistance. So those are the ones that really don't understand, I feel, what's happening. You know, we need a safe food supply. It's national food security. If we lose all of our farmers, you know, we're not going to have a safe food supply. So that's something that, you know, needs to be educated on, is because if we start losing farms, then we're not going to have food. And so that's just something that's really hard, actually, to get out there. There's a, you know, a big positive for people that support farming, but then when it comes down to, you know, taxpayer dollars and what's, you know, where their money's going, you'll see that, you know, we get some kickback on it. But right now is a time for need. And This brings me into the Farm Bill. In the One Big Beautiful Bill, which won't take effect, we won't see anything for that bill until October 2026. So this is why they're kind of doing these bridge payments to farmers, because they know that that improvement on some of the farm programs that got put into the One Big Beautiful Bill will not, farmers will not see any of that until October of 2026. And so we have that, which is good. They had a lot of improvements in there, because what was happening with our last farm bill is that it was outdated. And so none of the programs were kicking in times where they need to kick in. Farmers don't want to receive money from the government to farm. They want to be able to have their own business, be profitable, and you know, be able to make money from their business. They don't want to have to rely on the government. But right now we're just in a situation where we do actually need those payments to make sure that we can keep farming and be able to, you know, manage our banking and all those types of situations. So we also were pushing for Farm Bill 2.0 to get through. Chair G.T. Thompson is saying that in February that, you know, they're probably going to try to mark up the bill. There was some things that weren't included in the One Big Beautiful Bill that we really need to be able to get reauthorized. And so we were pushing for that. Some of the items that that weren't in the One Big Beautiful Bill would be like expand and modernize the farm credit title. We also have to codify, there's a transfer of food piece to USDA. And that was a big win for wheat to be able to get that program over there. And then we also have reauthorizing our CRP. CRP, we utilize the Conservation Reserve Program. We utilize heavily in Washington State because of all our air and water quality rules and regulations that we have. So CRP is a tool in Washington State to be able to comply with our state laws. And then we also have an Ag Label Uniformity Act that was in there. So we had a lot of conversations. We were busy. We also had the MAHA conversation. So lots going on for Washington Wheat, but we have a good message and we have good numbers. And I feel people were receptive. It's just, how can we fix this? We can't keep putting a Band-Aid on it for farmers. And one of it is we somehow got to get our inputs down.
Michelle Hennings, Executive Director of the Washington Association of Wheat Growers, thanks so much for joining us right here on PNWAG.net.